Requires deep technical expertise. This session explores how no-code tools are lowering the barrier to entry, allowing more people to create, test, and launch applications quickly. Our next speaker focuses on accessible technology and no-code solutions, helping individuals bring ideas to life without traditional programming barriers. His topic is Vibe Coding, Build Apps Without Writing Code. Please welcome Sean McCluskey.
So my name is Sean, and I can't code. I don't know HTML, I don't know React, JavaScript. I couldn't write a single line of code. I couldn't write Hello World. And I have no intention of learning either, despite the fact that I have zero, literally zero technical knowledge. I've been able to build over 100 apps in the last 6 to 9 months. All thanks to the power of AI and vibe coding. So first of all, what is vibe coding? Well, vibe coding, it was the word of the year for 2025, and AI is everywhere, so I'm sure you've heard it. Vibe coding is essentially coding by communication. So instead of sitting there and writing hundreds of lines of intricate syntax and doing months of boot camps and studying, vibe coding is magic, and it essentially just allows you to code by communication. And if you could just describe something, just with English language, just describe it, then you can build it. So the reason I have the laptop up here is, let's go in, live demo. The only way to actually really understand vibe coding is to just to see it in action and build something. So I have something called VS Code here. Now, if we were actual software developers, this is where we may write our code, but we're not going to do that. So what we're gonna do is we're actually just gonna speak into the mic. Hi Claude, can you make me a pickleball website for a venue in the bank? Thank you. Oh, I said hand type, thank you, just in case. You've always got to be careful, you never really know. So while that's just going, let's just go back to this. So this is essentially the problem, and this is the problem that I had for so many years, and I think so many others have felt this as a non-technical person. The issue is I have ideas. I have so many ideas, hundreds of ideas, waking up with all these different ideas of apps I can build, businesses I can launch, but I can't build them until now because of two main reasons. So on one hand, learning to code takes years. And I know I said at the start that I have no intention of learning to code, and that is true. I don't want to get that confused with the fact that I have a huge amount of respect for people that put in the years of work and actually know how to code, because it is a completely different language and it is unbelievably complex and difficult, hence why it's so difficult to build. On the other hand, if you don't want to learn how to code, you need to rely on a developer, and this is going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars, and then you're still interacting with a human being who is sometimes unreliable and, you know, doesn't give exactly what you want. So because of this simple problem, all the ideas that you have just stay ideas until now. So if we go back to VS Code, and Claude is done, nice. Okay, so on the left-hand side here, we have an index.html file. This is it. These 400 lines of code, that was it. I've built over 100 apps. This blows my mind every time. Like, if I showed you this 5 years ago, that you can just speak human language and make software, it would have blown your mind, but now we kind of get used to it because AI is just so powerful. But so what does all this mean? First of all, there is no chance I could write all that. Look at that. If you get one thing wrong, one semicolon, doesn't work. It's incredible. So what we'll do is we'll actually just look at this. Reveal in File Explorer, and we open this up, and this is what we have. So I think it's magic. I think it's pure magic. You just speak and you create software. And this isn't the best website, okay? This is fine. But it's the idea that you can see what happens. So I want to upgrade this website. Now, one of the ways that we can do that, first of all, the setup that I use is VS Code and Claude. And with Claude, there's something called Skills. And Skills is essentially a specialist in a box. So at the moment, we've asked Claude to just make a website. What we're gonna do is we're gonna call a specialist, we're gonna call the website designer that we have in VS Code. And again, we're just gonna speak. Hi Claude, can you use the website designer skill and upgrade this website? Can you add a live Pong game as well? I didn't say thank you, you're right, I'm gonna get in trouble. Okay, so the voice is taking a bit long, but that's okay. So what we're gonna see is that we're forcing attention. What we're gonna do is we're essentially forcing the attention. Sometimes a voice to text doesn't work because of the microphone. So I'll just type it, can you use the, there we go. We're basically forcing our resources on one particular topic, which is upgrading the website. So while that's running, we'll just go back and I'll tell you some other stuff. So, the biggest thing about this is you need a complete mindset shift. Now, for me, as someone that wasn't technical, it was actually quite easy. But I think this is something that a lot of experienced kind of software developers struggle with. And essentially, the old way of coding was you writing every single line. And the new way of coding is essentially just describing the vision. So we're not focusing on how, we're focusing on what we want and why. And the best way to think about this is essentially, you're the project manager or you're the director. You know, Steven Spielberg or Martin Scorsese, they don't hold the camera and they're not doing the lighting, they're not doing the heavy lifting, but they still direct the movie. And I think we're the exact same here. I think the analogy works. We're the director and AI is the crew. So if you put in your mind that you are the director, and you are the project manager, what does that actually mean? How do you put that into real life? And one of the best things that you can do is you can write something called a PRD, which is a big word, product requirements document, but it essentially just means a blueprint. It essentially just means a plan. So instead of just going in and talking to AI, spend some time beforehand and talk about exactly what you want to build, why you want to build it, question AI and say how you're going to do it. It's exactly the same as if you was in a typical office environment with a brand new project. You wouldn't just go in all guns blazing and start building stuff. You would, like, you'd make a plan, you'd make a blueprint. The other thing that is so difficult, but so important, is how to communicate. So it's just a whole new paradigm, and we've seen something that no one has ever encountered before. And the situation is essentially, we're the project manager, as I said before, but the situation is that we have a genius new employee, like an IQ that is just super intelligent, far, far beyond anything that we can comprehend. But that same individual also has short-term memory loss. And none of us have ever encountered someone like that in the workplace. It doesn't exist. So it's so, so tricky. And the models will get better, the context windows will get larger, and the short-term memory loss will go away. But I think there's some real useful terms. So the number one term that I like to use is take your time. Sounds crazy, but just take your time. I tell AI, I want to do this, take your time. And I do that because AI is like optimized for speed. Different models operate different ways. But Claude, I find especially if the context window of the memory is shortening and it's like running out of time, it just gives me the answer straight away. So just saying take your time is good. Saying what could go wrong, saying what you're unsure about, there's a whole bunch of different useful terms. And the more practice and experience you get with AI speaking to it, the better off your results will be. So let's before I show you what I built, let's go to our website. Actually, I'll quickly show you what I built. So as I was thinking for a while of what exactly to show you. And as I said, I built over 100 projects. I've built trading tools on Polymarket that have lost me money. I've built games, I've built websites, payment tools, customer relations, everything. So I really was thinking about what I've built. And I wanted to show you this tool. And I built this in 7 minutes because I timed it. And this is not an app, it's not for sale, can't buy it, it's just simply on my desktop. And it's called the Learn Anything. And essentially, I just refresh it every day. And I go in and I click a new topic and I just learn something. And what I like is it gives me an analogy, or it gives me the topic in one line, and it gives it to me in key facts. And the reason I chose this to show you is because this is one thing that people like misunderstand with vibe coding. It's not just about building things, it's the ability to learn anything, absolutely anything in the world. You have the most incredible personal tutor at your fingertips 24/7. And if you're good at maths, but you're not so good at English, it can adjust for that. If you want to learn with analogies, it can adjust for that. So I think this is something that people really forget about, you know. We used to think that we could learn anything and information was free because you could just Google something. And that was half true. But in reality, that information on Wikipedia is not digestible. So it's not actually an ability to learn anything. And this is why, it's a bit of a tangent, but this is why, you know, the education system in a new like generation coming up, yes, they can write their essays with ChatGPT and Qi, but also they have the most incredible personal tutor ever at their fingertips. So they can be the most informed and educated generation that we've seen, if they can get off TikTok. Yeah. So Cord is done, the website is done, so hopefully this works, let's have a look. So this was our website. We called in the specialist, we got Claude skills, and transformed it, there we go. So he's now created Portside, because I asked him to come up with a brand name. And this is our Pickleball website. He's added a little game. Oh, there we go. I'll lose one. Yeah. And there's all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I mean, oh, that's really nice. So that conveyor belt is, the standard of websites now is so, so good. AI really likes to use gradient on websites. I don't know why. It's really interesting where that came from, but yeah, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, okay. So we like that. But enough about kind of what I've built. So I was trying to think about how can I like actually kind of help people that are in the audience. And there's a whole bunch of categories, but first of all, if you're an aspiring nomad, personal website, make your own. One, it's so much fun. And two, it's the only way that you can truly reflect yourself, the brand, color, your identity. I don't think I could have made my website with a software developer because like I'm asking Claude, move the box 3 centimeters to the left. Like I wouldn't really ask a software developer for that. One of the best things is app ideas, so you can iterate so quickly. You can come up with an idea, and then you can get a working prototype in a day. And that means if you have 10 ideas, it would have taken a year. Now you can just go through them really quickly. Lead generation for sales, of course, is really good. But I think actually the biggest one that I think you should focus on is hobbyist. So have fun, just have fun with it. Don't try and build the next Uber, just build like a tool to make you better at chess, something super specific for your work, something to track your workouts. And this kind of goes on to this path here. So at the moment, a lot of people are just on one, and that's fine. Go into Google, go into ChatGPT, start talking about vibe coding. Number two, learn it, follow a path. I use Claude, VS Code. All the AIs are fantastic. Don't get hooked up in what one's best. Then build for yourself and build for friends. And I think this is where the majority of people will be. 3 and 4. And I think that's fine. You don't need to vibe code the next incredible thing. So just to finish up, I said at the start that vibe coding was coding by communication. And the reason I'm here today is because I love this game. I absolutely love vibe coding. It has completely changed my life. It has made me so much more productive, so much more creative. I feel excited to wake up every day and build something new. I do have a bit of a problem with the term vibe coding, because to quote McCarthy, coding is the wrong verb. We're not really coding, we're building, or we're creating, or I'll go as far to say as we're manifesting. And that sounds crazy, but I literally just spoke words and created a website, so I did bring it into existence. So I really think that, we'll call it vibe coding for now, but I do think there needs to be a better name for it. And I said that vibe coding was coding by communication, and that is true. I think vibe coding is so much more than that, so much more. I think vibe coding is the ability to learn anything in the world, with the most incredible AI tutor, and it's combined with the ability to build anything. And there's a lot of digital nomads or aspiring digital nomads here that want to be financially and geographically free. Maybe there's a soul crushing 9-to-5 they're trying to get out of. I don't have the answer. It's unbelievably difficult to become a digital nomad full time, but the ability to learn anything and the ability to build anything, that's only gonna help you. Thank you.
Do we have any questions? Hi. I kind of have three questions, and each one could be a rabbit hole, but I just kind of want a quick answer.
Yes.
So the first one is, how good is the model right now at iterating what your changes are that you want?
Very, very good. I use Opus, but also I think that question relates to what stage you are. If you're at stage 3 and 4 and you're just building the website, it doesn't need to be that good. From my experience though, it's fantastic and only getting better.
Okay. And then the next one is, so when you had the learn anything site, so a lot of the ideas that I have want to access the AI to answer the question. So how does this work? Do you API call?
As normal coders, I love the chat box here with the voice hooked up.
If you were going to try to create a website for a user who is going to ask questions and then interface on your website with an AI model.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't, you can just hook up Claude. Everything that you want to do, you can ask it to do it in the chat, and I've hooked up a chat box to another website, but simplicity is key. And I haven't done that and don't plan to on my website.
Okay, and then related to that, is there any particular recommendation on where you would host your web app? Are there any services where you can kind of host a website and then access the AI?
Yeah, you have two options. You have Netlify or Vercel, and I use both for different projects. But you can just, this is why I like it so much, you can just talk in the chat box and say, hey, where should I host my website? What's good for this?
Cool. And it answers it, it knows the answer. Cool, great, thanks.
It knows everything.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Hello? Here.
Hello.
You said one of the use cases is to build working prototypes for app ideas. What are the next steps to go from the prototype to?
Most people, including myself, have kind of got obsessed with building. So you'll have an idea for a digital nomad app that is going to connect individuals from around the world, and fantastic. But you spend 6 months trying to build it, and you have zero users, and then you finally pitch it, and you say, hey, here's the app, and no one uses it. I think that you need to keep that in mind, and the most important thing is to get a prototype and get users. So get an app that isn't working 100%, obviously source security, but isn't working 100%, get users. And then when you're in a position to scale, maybe you have a bit more capital and you could get a trusted software developer, or you could lock in. Does that answer your question?
Partially.
Yeah, you want to, there's kind of stages, and you're not gonna go from zero to 100% perfect app in a day, you're going to get to MVP, minimal viable product, and that's good enough. Maybe.
So I think you're background in product development.
Okay.
So I think in practical terms, you're saying like the next step would be to work with the developer.
Yeah. Or do it yourself if you feel you have the skills. But partner with a developer, and yes, it's going to cost money, but it's so much better going to a developer with an MVP and saying, this is what I have, what do you think? Rather than saying, hey, this is my idea, I want a digital nomad app. Like, it's going to take months. So yeah.
Thank you.
Quick question on, I'm curious about you, what's your experience with the cost of running these LLMs, and so if you ever spend more than you plan to,
yeah.
And in case if you have any tips on how managing the cost of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I use the Claude Max Plan, and that has been fine in terms of like token management. I will often hit a rate limit and then the AI will stop working for 3 hours and then I just feel completely useless. But then I go to the beach and I'm like, okay, things are right. Best tip is use different models for different things. If you want to use web search, don't use Opus in Claude. Just use the worst model because it doesn't matter. It's only web searching. And kind of be particular with what models you're using at what time. But just pay it. I mean, if you're going to hire a developer, it costs you thousands. Full-time AI personal system as well to 200 or 100 bucks.
Thank you.
Hi.
Oh.
Thanks for the presentation. You built a lot of apps. Have you had any situation where AI can help you? Any kind of project?
No. It knows everything.
It solves everything. Maybe something complex.
Yeah. What it never says, I don't know the answer. It just goes quickly and gives me an answer that's not correct. Or it says, download this software, and I'll say, why? It says, oh, wait, actually, we don't need to download that software. I often will take an answer from ChatGPT and put it into Claude, and then put it into Gemini and get them to talk to each other. Currently, I manually paste it. I probably should. There is a tool where you can actually put in a prompt and have four of them analyze it at once, which is super, super intelligence. But yeah, and it also can make mistakes, of course. So yeah, but it always tells me the answer.
Okay. And the second question, do you have any QA activities, quality assurance, testing, or are they built already very clean?
Yeah, I'm building like a healthcare admin tool, which is super high stakes. So I've been doing all sorts of like tests and like really using a bit of a budget to run experiments and that sort of stuff. Again, because of that side with the 3 to 4 zone, I think for the majority of what people are building, I just recommend personal tools that sit on your desktop, never go to the internet, and just help you like in the gym. So quality assurance is maybe less of an issue.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a question just about, I guess, your stance on where it comes to vibe coding and the responsibility that comes with it as well. Because obviously there's a lot of opportunity, there's a lot of building that people can do, but then by the time that they are ready to go to market or something like that with any of their products or approach potential clients, they're not really thinking of the conscious action versus the unconscious consequences that come across. So I'd love to hear your stance on
that. For example, let's say you use great power, great responsibility, right? Say you use a model that has an API key, so you need to connect your website to the AI, and someone gets a hold of that API key and runs up a bill, and that's like $10,000, or you leave private data. Like, there's real risks, you're right. But as I kind of said before, you have like most incredible personal chooser at your fingertips. So I think that it's a steep learning curve, but you can make a very safe, minimal viable product. And if you're tackling something that's a little bit difficult in terms of like my healthcare admin tool, then you need to be cognizant of that. And you need to partner with someone that maybe knows a bit more than you or spend some more time. And you're not gonna, hey, build me a healthcare admin tool, done. It doesn't work like that. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up and show your love for an incredible presentation by Sean Nikolowski.